Thank you, Pastor. I hope and pray everyone's doing well tonight. And I'd like us to say thank you for letting me speak at your missions conference. It's an honor and privilege to represent Lighthouse Baptist Church live streaming tonight and their commission conference to reach the lost of their community and reach the lost around the world. I'd like you to do this tonight for me if you could. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 16, and I'll catch up with you in just a few moments. And I heard what Pastor Walsh said there, and I got to catch a little bit of that news. We truly are living in unprecedented, unbelievable times. And what an opportunity. And I know we have to keep our social distancing, but this won't last forever. And what a time for God to get our attention. And I hope and pray all of you that's thinking about missions tonight with me will understand that God wants us to be a witness for him. And I get right into the message tonight. We've been in the ministry 45 years, and God, we've always went everywhere where God's called us to go and planting churches. And in Papua New Guinea alone, we started one church in 1994. And today there's 8 churches in like about a 30-40 mile circle. This last Sunday, we had over 4,000 people in those 8 churches. We have a Christian school. We have a Bible college there now. God is blessing in our ministries there. But God wants to bless us all around the world. And tonight I want us to think of that as we get into our message, and I'll come to you in Acts chapter 16 in just a moment. And you know that famous chapter that has the Macedonian call in it. And tonight I want to preach to us and unwrap this a little bit for us to understand that, and I entitled this message on purpose, Your Macedonian Call. You know, I know God is at work and God's in charge of all that's going on at this time. And it's a very unique time in history, and it'll change our world as we know it. And may we let the Lord use us to bring revival to this country, get people saved. May God work in us, on us, and through us for his honor and his glory. You know, when I think about the phrase on purpose, I think of Daniel. It says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with any portion of the king's meat on purpose, or the wine which they drank. On purpose, he said no. On purpose, he wanted to be a witness for Christ in a godless nation. I think about Joshua in Joshua 24:14. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. On purpose, Joshua said that. On purpose, he was leading that nation in that direction. I think of Joseph, there in Genesis 39. Potiphar's wife was making the move on him, and he made this statement in verse 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? On purpose, he ran out of that house. On purpose, he lost his coat that day. On purpose. And the Bible says God was using him to free his nation. You know, Joseph had a purpose, and I hope and pray tonight you'll see in our message that God has a purpose for each and all of us. And, you know, I think of Noah when he was building the ark. He'd never seen it rain. I don't even think rain was a word yet. Amen. And on purpose, by faith, he put that ark together and his family was saved. I think about Moses, where the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, on purpose, he turned his back on Egypt to suffer, but he wanted the things of God in his life, and he wanted to do things God's way. And tonight I pray as we get into our message here in just a few minutes in Acts 16, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ who came down to us, and his blood was shed on the cross, and he died on the cross for us and was buried, and 3 days again rose again to make complete our way to heaven. And I praise the Lord for on purpose he came, not to condemn the world, but to seek and save that which was lost. You know, I want you to understand also on purpose, it says in Acts 1:8, as the Lord Jesus Christ had developed his missionaries or his disciples and his followers, the Bible says in 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That was the clarion call for missions. And I believe missions is the heartbeat of God, whether it's in our own communities, whether it's in our state, church plant, are all around the world. You know, the Lord has blessed our ministries at BIMI, where we have over 90 countries we're in, over 900 missionaries in those countries. And I praise the Lord for the churches that have the heart and have the vision, as Lighthouse does here. This is their theme. Have their vision for the Great Commission to have an emphasis on missions. And tonight I want to title this thought, On Purpose, What About Your Macedonian Call? And we have five thoughts in this message tonight. And we'll be looking at Acts chapter 16, and then we'll be looking at Acts chapter 2, and just kind of go back and forth a little bit and show you what missions is. And understand, missions is not a commitment to a pastor, but it's a commitment to God. And it's a commitment to go through the local church. And it's how God has things set up for us. And I want us to join me in verse 5 tonight of chapter 16. And I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here. And I want to set the tone, and I want you to see how Paul and his team of missionaries are ready to serve the Lord, and God has blessed them. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we're in the city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the river, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which reported thither. Folks, I want you to see, as we get into our message tonight, may God touch our hearts and follow his call in our life in missions. You see, Paul and his team were being blessed. You can see down there in verse 5 and 6 where the churches were being built and being established. And then the Holy Spirit of God was moving them into missions. Paul wanted to go this way to the right, and the Holy Spirit said no. He wanted to go straight ahead, and the Holy Spirit said no. He wanted to go a little bit to his left, and the Holy Spirit said no. And the Holy Spirit was, can I use the term, driving the bus. And I want you to understand, when that Macedonian call came in verse 9 and 10, I want to give you the first thought tonight, and that is this. It was an urgent call. It says here in verse 9, the Bible tells us that, and when a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. I want you to understand the word immediately means right now. It means urgent. If you look closer at verse 10, you'll see a gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, listen, I want you to see this. Preach the gospel. It was urgent. It says in verse 10, immediately. Three thoughts I have under this point. I want you to catch it with me. Now, on purpose, I believe our Macedonian call needs to be urgent. I believe God's getting the attention not only of America tonight, but this world. What a time to get the gospel out. What a time for the Holy Spirit to work on hearts of Christians to be called into missions. And the first thought is this, why is the call urgent? Well, first of all, for the gospel's sake. I already read to you Acts 1:8, but the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. To do what? Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Can you understand this tonight? God Almighty wants us to be a witness for him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you tonight, God is an urgent call because of the gospel's sake, the good news. Secondly, Paul, for church planting. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized," Peter was preaching, "and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls." And the Bible says that God was adding to that church. God was adding to that ministry. And these early days, these people were not called Christians, but they were called Wayans, in the way. It was in the way, giving people the gospel, witnessing to them. And then I want you, they were a soul winning and salvation, and they would have discipleship, and then they would join the church. Folks, I want you to understand, it was an urgent call for the gospel's sake. It was the urgent call for church planning's sake. But most importantly, it was an urgent call for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it says in chapter 2, verse 47, it makes this statement. I want you to catch this with me. The Bible says, praising God, the churches were getting established here. They were going from house to house. God was blessing them to have a good heart and a good mind. It says, praising God in verse 47, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm telling you what, when we have an urgency to do it God's way, according to God's word, and doing God's will, he's always going to add to that. The word urgency means immediately. Verse 10 says in our text of Acts 16, we endeavored right then to go. I think every missionary has got to have this urgency in him, this angst to get to the mission field. He's got to have this, his emotion stirred, not an emotional thing, but his spirit, his heart, his drive, his focus. As the theme is for Lighthouse this year, his vision, he can only see the place where God's called him. Every missionary, God called me to Papua New Guinea. And man, I'm glad he didn't call me to Siberia. Amen. Papua New Guinea, it's about 7 degrees on a cold day there. In Siberia, it's about 7 degrees on a hot day there. Amen. But God knows what he's doing. He put an urgency in us. That urgency's still there. It's never left. And I want you to understand, God wants us to reach the whole world. The Holy Spirit needed Paul's heart, soul, and his consciousness. He touched his heart. He touched his mind. He touched his spirit. And he put this conviction in him that convinced him that he had to go. I hope and pray that you'll listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. I hope and pray you have a relationship with God, because the Holy Spirit wants missionaries. God Almighty, he's not done building churches and building lives and starting mission works around the world. And sometimes we get too busy and don't look or don't see what God's doing with us. You know, when I went to New Guinea, my first couple of years there, our church grew and God blessed that thing. And after about 5 years, we were running about almost 500, and the national folks were doing everything. And we were developing our preacher boys, our Timothys, and getting ready to hand the church over. And we were busy. We had a Christian school. We had a Bible college. We had visitation on Thursday night. And we had youth activities on Friday, and soul winning on Saturday, and church all day Sunday and Wednesday. And God was blessing the thing. And one Sunday I was preaching, and I noticed a man sitting in the back of the church, and he had a basket with him. He was a short fella from the central province, from a village called Gorohu. And after I was done preaching, he walked up to me and he handed me that basket, and it was full of clams, mud clams. And he said, "Pastor, I want to give you a gift, a missionary." And I said, "Yes, what this is about?" He says, "I want to ask you a question. The other missionaries and the other national pastors say that you believe once saved, always saved. Yes. Can you show me that in scripture?" I did. I showed him. He says, "I am a Christian. I know Christ is my Savior. But in our village, the pastor there preaches that we can lose our salvation. And they told me that you can preach and show us you can't." And I said, "That's true. Right here it is." And I showed him. He said, "Well, I appreciate that very much. And I marked it in my Bible. And I'm going to come back in 2 weeks. I've got 5 unsaved brothers. And I want you to win them to Christ. And they need to get saved. And will you help me with this?" And I said, "Brother Hanawa was his name. I said, "Sir, listen, I'm very busy in my ministry here, but if you come back, you know, I'll show you how your brothers, I'll give them all the gospel." You know, I did not that he gave me. He's leaving. He said, now, you know, when I come back, you owe me because I gave you this gift. And I want you to understand that I was busy in my ministry. I was doing what God wanted me to do. And this guy shows up, and I really wasn't going to pay much attention to him. But he had an urgency about him, especially his five brothers and a little village. And I want you to understand, the first thing about your Macedonian call and mine is I hope and pray it's urgent in your heart to be a witness for Christ. I hope you have this urgency to support missionaries. I hope the missionaries listening tonight have an urgency to do what God puts in their heart to do. Can I go to the second point tonight? And that is this. Not only was it an urgent call, number two, it was an understood call. Look what it says in verse 10 of our text tonight. In Acts 16:10, it makes this statement, assuredly gathering. That means understanding the call. Why did the Holy Spirit do this? Paul wanted to serve God here, and that was good. Paul wanted to serve God there, and that was good. Luke and Paul wanted to go to that town, and that was fine. But the Holy Spirit wanted them to go over here to Philippi, and they understood that call. God was at work. It says in verse 10, assuredly gathering that God had called us to do what? To give the folks of Macedonia the gospel. What did the Holy Spirit do here? He says, I want you to preach the gospel. And I'll tell you what, I hope you'll get a vision tonight. And the theme of the conference is the vision, 2020 vision, that we'll see it right and clear. And where did the Holy Spirit call them? He called them to Philippi, that chief city, down there by the river on this certain day. Lydia had come. The ladies were there, and they gave them the gospel. A few verses later, there was a damsel that was demon-possessed, was following Paul everywhere. It grieved Paul. And I'll tell you what, the Lord turned her life around. There's a jailer in this chapter. I mean, God's getting ready to start a church here, and I want you to catch this thought. When Paul understood the urgency, when he understood, he went directly to Macedonia. Three things about understanding tonight. Here's the first one. You got to understand the Holy Spirit has a plan for all of us. Yes, the Holy Spirit has a plan for all of us. If you'll look with me back in Acts chapter 2, and it'll explain it to you. Look what it says in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, that's Peter's preaching, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. My friend, tonight, I want you to understand this. It was an understood plan. Paul understood what God was doing, the plan of salvation, the plan of repentance, the plan of baptism, the plan of discipleship. The Holy Spirit had a plan to start a church in this town. Not only was it an understood plan, they also understood the purpose. It says in Acts chapter 2, it tells us in verse 41, and they gladly received the word, they were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. You talk about church growth, amen? They received the gospel. They understood they need to repent. They understood baptism. They understood what Peter and them were saying. And the Bible says it was the purpose to start this New Testament local church, playing right out in front of us. They understood the plan of the Holy Spirit. These early disciples understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And they understood, can I say this? Understand the Holy Spirit's program, the plan, the purpose, and the program. Look what it says in verse 46 of our text tonight, or in chapter 2 of Acts. And they continually, daily with one accord. Man, they went to church every day in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor. Now catch this, with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. The last verse in the book of Mark, the last chapter, it says, and the Lord working with them. Folks, I believe God has a program for us now. I know this coronavirus, but I know once we get out of this quarantine type of thing, I'm telling you what, I hope and pray America to God missionaries and pastors understand that the Holy Spirit has a program: salvation, sanctification, and service. And verse 46 in chapter 2 says they were really focused, daily with gladness, continuing with unity and singleness. Man, this program's dripping wet with the Holy Spirit's guidance. Can I encourage you tonight about your own Macedonian call? Will you let the Holy Spirit bring this urgency in your heart? Will you let the Holy Spirit give you a heart and mind of understanding that God wants to use us? As I preach this morning, He'll use anybody with a heart that'll be obedient and follow Him. Not only was it an urgent call, not only was it an understood call, but thirdly, it was an undone call. You know, this Hanawa that came to me there at that church in New Guinea, I didn't think I would see him again. And 2 weeks went by. It was about midnight on a Friday night. There was a commotion out in my front yard, and I went out, and it was Hanawa with his five brothers. They came at midnight. They'd rowed a boat for 4 hours. They'd rowed a truck for 4 hours. They'd walked for about an hour, and they come on this night to get saved on a Saturday morning. And I said, well, boys, I know it's late. Why don't you just lay down? And all six of them they slept down there. As they say in New Guinea, they took a camp on my front porch. And the next morning, my wife got up. She fixed them pancakes and bacon. They'd never had that bacon like that before. And she fixed them some sweet tea. They hadn't had that before either. Good night. They were excited. And I want you to understand, I had a busy day planned and soul winning with my church and all the things going on. And I said, we'll get up at daylight. I'll give you the plan of salvation. And then we'll send you home. And that morning we got up, we got done eating, and I give them the plan of salvation. It took about an hour. And I can praise the Lord. Within 2 hours, all five of those men had trusted Christ, their personal Savior. It's getting around 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm getting ready to go on our visitation at 9 o'clock at our church. And I got ready, said, well, boys, we're done here. And I prayed, and I'll see you later. And they said, well, no, Pastor. Now you need to show us about the assurance of our salvation. And I said, hey, I got things to do. I got places to go. I got ministry to see. They said, but Brother DeLong, we brought you a basket of crabs, right? You give us a plan of salvation, right? And they had in a cooler about a 10-pound sea bass that they had caught and brought with them the night before. They said, here's our gift to you. Now, we want you to give us the gift back and tell us about the assurance of salvation. So there I was, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, amen? And it was about 2 hours later, and everybody had it settled. And I'm ready to go to my own visitation. I'm really uptight. I got to go. And they said, thank you, preacher. Hey, we'll see you in a few weeks. God is at work. Folks, I'm telling you, some of us get very uncomfortable when we have to undo our scheduling, right? When we have to undo things that we want to do. I want you to understand in chapter 16 and verse 6 of the book of Acts, it said they were forbidden. It says the Spirit suffered them, verse 7, them not. Paul's plans were undone. He wanted to go one way in verse 6 and 7. The Holy Spirit said another. Luke's direction was undone. Timothy's life was undone. Lydia, when we start this chapter, verse 14 and 15, she was on her way to hell when they were done with that church morning, that church service that morning. She was heading in the other direction. Things were coming undone. That damsel was demon-possessed, and she was grieving Paul and tormenting Paul. Yelling out that these are Christians and preachers, men of God. And I'm telling you what, it was when she got saved, it undone the money for her owners. And then the jailer's family, they were all on their way to hell when they come into the story in chapter 16. But at the end of it, man, they got a church ready to start. The Macedonian call, my friend, will undo some things in your life, and it should. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Number one, when I read this story, I see this about the undone call in Paul's life here. It undone their direction. It changed their direction. Their GPS did a turnabout. Amen. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit touched his heart and said, no, Paul, I want you to go in this direction. I got things out there for you. You cannot see. You cannot feel. But I want you to understand there's lost people where you're going. Just be obedient. Follow my direction. Number two in this undoing, they undone some of their decisions. What do you mean by that, Brother DeLong? Well, you look at Lydia, you look at the damsel, look at the jailer, you look at Lydia's family, the jailer's family, you look at all their households. When we start this chapter, they're all on their way to hell. When we finish this chapter, I think we've got a New Testament Bible-believing church being started. Why? Because Paul and his group, his missionaries, they went the Holy Spirit's direction, and they made decisions to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. And thirdly, I want you to understand this. It's undone. They undone their display or their testimony. What do you mean by this, preacher? Paul wanted to follow the Lord, and he wanted to go in this direction. The Lord said, no, I want you to go in the other direction. And when he went to that other direction, things began to come together. Lydia got saved. They not only got saved, had baptismal service, but had a place for the missionaries to stay. Amen. She put them up. And then as they're soul winning and witnessing in that city of Philippi, man, they had to run into this demon-possessed guy. I don't think it was by accident. I think God was guiding. And we'll get into it a little bit later. And then after she got her life straightened out by the Holy Spirit, then the jailer got saved and his family, and they all got baptized. I want you to understand, God wants to undo some things in people's life, and God wants you to be part of that. Okay, I want you to understand tonight with me, it was an urgent call. It was an understood call. It was an undone call. And fourthly, it was an uncomfortable call. What do you mean by that, preacher? It was an uncomfortable call. Join me, please, in chapter 16 and look at verse 23. Let's see how uncomfortable that it gets. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Good night. Not very comfortable doing God's will, is it? Look with me in verse 16. It came to pass when we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of deviation that met us, which brought her masters much gain and soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul was what? Being grieved. He was uncomfortable about her yelling and screaming behind them. And then we see him in the jail in the stocks, and they're praising the Lord and singing. Then at midnight, God brings an earthquake. Folks, if you've ever been in one, and I've been in one, and that's enough. Very uncomfortable situation. And I want you to understand, on this Macedonian call, we're going to have sometimes maybe get in some uncomfortable situations. And I want you to catch this with me and understand that this is how God blesses when we step out by faith. It wasn't comfortable for Noah to build that ark. It wasn't comfortable for Moses to turn his back on Egypt. It wasn't comfortable for Joseph to follow the Lord and spend time in that prison. It wasn't comfortable. But every time in Scripture, I find out God blesses in a great way. And I want you to understand something about this thought here, being uncomfortable. There's going to be some dramas come into our lives when you have a ministry, when you have missions, and when you have church planning, or you have bus ministry. It's uncomfortable sometimes contacting people and trying to witness, and people laugh at you and make fun of you. It's uncomfortable when you get accused of, you know, of being one thing, and yet you're just trying to be a witness for Christ. And I want you to understand, things do come in your life that you may not like, but if God is in it, God is going to bless in a great way. You know, this Hannah, one of his boys, they asked me to come to their village after they got saved, and they wanted me to baptize them there because the preacher in that village didn't believe in it. So I went there and discipled those fellows. Make a long story short, they all got baptized, and they wanted to start a church, but that pastor would not let them. And I went there to talk to the village to get some land to start a church in that village. Ran about 1,000 people. And Hannah was said they wasn't going to give him permission. And so I went there, and he said, we're going to have a church service in our little house. And we did. About 40 people came. When we got done, we came back out, and we were surrounded. And that head pastor told me not to come back, and I would be trouble. I'd be in trouble. I looked at him and smiled and said, well, God's in charge of this. God bless you. And I walked on. And as I was leaving, I saw that there was going to be a fuss or a fight, and Hannah was He's the spear for machetes, and that pastor's got his people with the spears and swords, and man, they're going to have a fight right there. And I go, oh my goodness. And he said, Pastor, Hanawa said, Pastor, get in the boat. We'll take care of this. I'm saying, oh my goodness. I felt uncomfortable. I said, no, I need to stay here. And we need to, you know, look at God's word and get this thing cleaned up here. This is wrong. He said, Pastor, you need to get in the boat. You need to go home. God will take care of us during this. As that boat took me down the river away from that village, as I looked back, I felt very uncomfortable. The faith of that little man and his five brothers and their families, about 40 people, standing there talking to about 1,000 people, and the pastor telling this is what God wants them to do, I thought that'd be the last time I'd see them alive. But you know what? About 2 weeks later, he showed up at my house and said, Pastor, we're okay. They voted to let us have a church in that village. I'm telling you what, it is unbelievable how God works. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is not going to work. They're going to shut down that little Bible study. They're going to run that family off. To make a long story short, God took care of everything. Can I tell you, I hope and pray that you see the urgency. I hope you understand and I pray that you understand that you see what God wants to do in us and through us and for us. I hope you understand that at times there's going to have to be some undoing in your life to do God's will. It's going to be uncomfortable serving the Lord at times. But here's the key. It is unstoppable. If you look at chapter 16 of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit starts in verse 1, and he goes through verse 5 and 9 and 10. Would you pick it up in verse 14 with me? When Paul's there preaching, look what it says about the unstoppable call of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if we judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide here, there. And she constrained us. Folks, God is at work. It's unstoppable. Now, I wanted you to catch this also about Lydia. Not only was she unstoppable, but the damsel got saved. That was unstoppable. And then Paul and them got thrown into prison. And I want you to catch this. That was unstoppable. And that jailer was going to commit suicide. He thought all the prisoners had escaped. And the Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 16, in verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you know what he asked them when he jumped down there with that light after he was going to commit suicide? He said, what must I do to be saved? That tells me Paul and his partner in the middle of that dungeon were not only singing hymns, but they were witnessing to those prisoners and witnessing loud enough that that jailer could hear it. Folks, can I tell you, it's an unstoppable call. And at the end of this chapter, at the end of the story, I believe this is one of the strongest churches in Macedonia. I talked about Macedonia giving this morning, and I talked about it on Sunday. And tonight, I believe God has on purpose a Macedonian call for us. You know, a few months after this incident in the village, I was soul winning one night at the hospital, and the youngest of those five brothers that I'd led to Christ was at the hospital with his two-year-old daughter, and she was full of malaria. And I saw how sick she was, and the man was broke. He had no money. So I went down to see a nurse that saw the doctor and brought up the child in the hospital. It cost me $20 to give that doctor some money to give that little girl some medicine that killed that malaria that was in her body. And he thanked me for that, and he went home, and about a month went by, and again, it was at 11 o'clock on a Friday night. It was that young man. He'd walked to my house from the hospital a second time. He says, Pastor, my baby's sick. Will you come again? Will you come again? And so I got my wife at midnight. We drove down to the hospital. Now, the hospital's in New Guinea. It's third world. It's not like they are here in the States. They're not very healthy. Amen. As we were coming into the hospital, we just got out of our truck, walking into the emergency room. And this young man's wife come walking out. She had a blue towel little baby, see its face, that little two-year-old child's body. And she handed that body to me and said, Pastor, she's went to heaven. She's gone. If I can tell you this tonight, that that little girl passed away, and we did the funeral about 3 or 4 days later. We had over 1,000 people in that village come there. And we had over 20 trust Christ as our Savior during the funeral service. And where we buried her, that village gave us about 10 acres of ground. Where today there's a Christian school that runs over 200. And that little church that had 40 people runs over 300 a day because God's Macedonian call in my life. And I didn't see it at first. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. So I don't know where you are in your life, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will show you the urgency. I pray that you'll let the Holy Spirit touch your heart and you understand that He wants to use you. And you need to undo some things in your life so you can do them for the Lord. And I want you to understand this thing is unstoppable. And I want you to understand that God wants to bless you. There will be uncomfortable times, but it is unstoppable. Now, I pray the Lord will work in your heart tonight. Paul wanted to go this way and that way, but the Holy Spirit had the Macedonian call. And on purpose, Paul followed it with an urgency, with an understanding, knowing that he would have to undo some things in his life. It would be uncomfortable. But he knows today that the gospel is unstoppable. That's what missions is. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Pastor Walsh.
God bless you, Brother Dan. Appreciate that. Before he spoke, the song I sang was Follow Me. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Last verse says, Lord Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, it would be no more than love demands. No less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. And these the words he gently spoke. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, if that's what I give you to use, well then just a cup of water is all I'll demand. But if in his grace he says, if by death through living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow after thee. What's the souls of others worth to you? This life is just a moment in time to prepare for eternity. The life that God has given us is just a life to be given back to Him so that others may live. The whole song that we sing around here often says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they're slighting him, still he's waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Because you see, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, there are feelings that lie buried and grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. The fact is, if those things don't get you, the last verse, rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wonder a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to our heart here this evening. We can be very, very cold and very selfish. Often we say, well, look about my needs, and what about my wants, and what I have had going on to me, and how hard my life is. Well, listen to what Jesus went through. His back got also weary from the burden, the cross he had to carry. His hands were pierced by the nails. He was mocked by the crowd. Just so we could have life. Lord, give us that vision. May we see souls as you see souls. Lord, the fact is, Lord, we have it quite easy. In fact, you're preparing a lot of hearts. And it could be that when all this is over, even maybe before this is all over here, we will have time and opportunity to speak to our friends, our family, our neighbors. Because they're thinking about eternity right now. They're wondering if death's going to come knocking at their door. And even if it does, will they be ready? So Lord, speak to us. For those who don't know Christ as their Savior, again, I pray this evening they'll come to know him. Trust his death on the cross as full payment for their sin, plus nothing, minus nothing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, and the wages of the sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? God commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, thank you for that salvation. And Lord, may they simply call the name of the Lord, receive that wonderful gift. So Lord, I pray that you be with us. We have one more night tomorrow night, and pray, Lord, you'll work in our hearts there once again. Thank you so much for having Brother DeLong with us, and thank you for the encouragement he's been. And Lord, again, you are setting things up for this world to hear the gospel. May we be preparing to give the gospel to the world. And we give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother DeLong, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate that so very, very much. And we've appreciated your time with us. And I know it's been a blessing to our folks. I've been getting feedback from folks who've been watching. And I know it's a good thing. It's good things are happening. Now we can just take that and move with it. I appreciate that. And if you're here with us,